A long time ago, Kinelach, there lived a big general named Naaman. And he lived in the place called Aram. Kinelach, Naaman had a terrible sickness called Tsaras. He was covered with itchy, uncomfortable boo-boos all over his body. And Naaman was a goy. As I told you, he was a general for the king of Aram. And he would go to Davin, to the Getchkis. Please take away my terrible tzaras, my boo-boos. They itch and they bother me. And they're covering my body and they're not nice to look at. Please take away my tzaras. He davened in his house to his Getchkis. He dived into the getchke in his pocket if he had to go out of his house. His friends and other officers had different getchkes, and he even dived into the king's getchkes, and the tzaras did not go away. And he went to the house of getchkes to daven, to where there's a whole place just for getchkes. Nothing helped. And one time he was in his house davening to his getchkes. And in his house was a little Jewish girl who was captured when the army made a raid, like a fight, when they went to Eretz Yisrael, and they captured captives. They took prisoners. One of the prisoners was a little Jewish girl who was now living like a servant in Naaman's house. And she said to Naaman's wife, "Why should he daven to those getchkes to get rid of tzaras? What a waste of time. What a waste of time to daven to getchkes for everything. But especially, he's suffering from the terrible boo-boos. That's not the way to get rid of the boo-boos. There is a way I know he could get rid of the boo-boos." And Naaman listened to the little girl. "What do you know? What do you know how to get rid of these boo-boos?" And she said, "In Eretz Yisrael, there lives a Helike Navi, a Helike person, and his name is Elisha. And if you would go to him for his bracha, since he's close to Hashem, Hashem could send his bracha through Elisha to you, and that would get rid of your boo-boos, because there's many miracles that our tzaddikim can do. Of course, everything comes from Hashem, but since our tzaddikim are halik and they're close to Hashem, when people go to them for a bracha, that helps." Now Naaman had gone to the best doctors in Aram, and they gave him medicines, and they gave him creams, and they gave him all kinds of treatments, and they told him to do different things, and nothing helped his boo-boos to go away. And of course, he dived into his getchkes, and they didn't help. And all of a sudden, this little girl is saying, "Go to Eretz Yisrael to some person named Elisha." Nah. What could that do? But he thought about it. Why not? Why shouldn't he try something? At least he should try. But wait a minute. He is the general for the king of Aram. Maybe the king of Aram will not let him go. He needs his general. But then again, the king of Aram doesn't like to see his general covered with boo-boos and always itching and scratching and being uncomfortable, so maybe he will let him go. So he decided to ask the permission from the king of Aram to go to this Elisha who lived in Eretz Yisrael in Shomron, a place called Shomron in Eretz Yisrael. And Naaman goes to the king of Aram. And he says, "The king knows that I have such terrible boo-boos, and they bother me all the time. I would like to get rid of them somehow. And as it is, I take off time from the palace and from my being a general to go to the doctors and to daven to the getchkes, and I'm so uncomfortable, and nothing has helped. I heard from a little Jewish girl in my house that in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Halakha tzaddik, a Navi named Elisha. And she said that he has the power to be able to give me some kind of a help. Could I please go? And the king of Aram thinks to himself, wait a minute. This Elisha, he's just a person. He's not the king. I have a good idea. I'll let you go. But to make sure that this Elisha helps you, instead of going to Elisha, I'll send you to the king of Eretz Israel. And since he's the king and he's in charge of his country, he will command Elisha that he has to give you a help. And then it's going to be a command from that king. And that way you're not going to waste your time that maybe he's going to say, you know, no or something. And so the king of Aram sat down and he wrote a letter to the king of Eretz Israel, who at that time was Achav. Remember Achav? Achav was the one with the Shlechta wife, Izebel. And he was still the king of Eretz Israel. Achav was Shlecht. We all know that Achav was Shlecht. He was still the king of Eretz Israel. This is after Eliyahu HaNavi went alive into the Shemayim and Elisha took over. And he writes a letter telling the king, telling Achav that he's sending his general Naaman and to make sure that Naaman gets help from Elisha the Navi. And he gave Naaman the letter, and Naaman goes now to Eretz Israel, to Achav. And all of a sudden, the guards and the officers of Achav, they announce, the general Naaman from Aram is here to see the king Achav, and he has a letter from the king of Aram. Uh-oh, says Achav. The king of Aram, he's not my friend, he's an enemy, he's a troublemaker. For a while he hasn't made trouble, but who knows, maybe there's trouble now in the letter. I'm afraid it's some kind of a trouble letter. And all of a sudden, Naaman comes in with the letter, and they blow the trumpets, dee, 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 because he was a big officer, a big general. And he says, I have a letter from you from the king of Aram. And Achav reads the letter, and he sees that the king of Aram is telling Achav to ask Elisha to give Naaman a refuah and a help. Uh-oh. There's a big problem over here, because was Achav nice to Elisha or not? Who remembers how Achav treated Eliyahu HaNavi and any Halakha Tzaddik? How did he treat the Tzaddikim and the big Talmidei Chachamim and the Yidden who kept Torah mitzvahs? How did he treat them? He treated them terrible. Because Achav and his wife Izebel believed in the Getshka, the Baal. And they made so much trouble for the Yidden. And Achav had chased Eliyahu HaNavi wanting to kill him, and he killed out the tzaddikim, and anybody who wanted to keep Torah mitzvahs had to hide, like the people in the cave, and he made so much trouble. So Kinelech, Elisha and Achav had no connection. Achav didn't even want to know from Elisha. He only wanted to know from the Baal, not Elisha. Elisha would try to get him to do tshuva or something. He didn't want to hear from it. He wanted to daven to the Baal with his wife Izebel. He davened to the Baal. And all of a sudden, the letter is saying that Achav should tell Elisha what to do. And Achav thinks to himself, you know what this is? It's a trick. You know what's a trick? A trick is that if the king of Aram is telling me to do something, and if I can't do it, because how is Elisha going to feel if I go tell him what to do? All I'm doing is making trouble all the time. Now I tell him what to do. So maybe he's not going to listen. Or maybe, who knows what's going to happen, that he will not want to hear from me because all I've done is cause trouble. So then what happened? That the king of Aram told me to do something and I didn't do it. Ah, he's going to use that as an excuse to make trouble and make a war and attack us, because he's going to say, look, I asked Achav to do something, he didn't do it, he's chutzpahdik to me, I'm a king, he's chutzpahdik, and now he's going to tell his army, go make a fight with Eretz Israel. This letter is a trick letter. And Achav tore his garments. He tore his clothes as a sign, like of a terrible thing. Like Rahman al-Atslan, when somebody dies, they tear because it's such a sad thing that happens. He tore his clothes like a terrible thing happened, like a sad thing happened. Now, Kinalach, there were officers and there were people in the palace that saw this happen. And they went out and they told other people what happened. And those other people told other people what happened until somebody went to Elisha in Shomron and he told him that there's a general in the palace of Achav who came all the way from Aram and he's covered with the boo-boos of Tzaraz and he wants you to help him. And Achav didn't want to send him to you because he's afraid that you're not going to help him because this is coming from Achav. And Achav is, we know who Achav is. He's a big troublemaker. And Elisha told the person, go back to the palace and tell Naaman to come to me that I will help him with Hashem's help. And tell Achav, don't worry, I'm not doing it for Achav, I'm doing it for Hashem. There should be a Kiddush Hashem that even the Goyim should see that there's Hashem who's connected with the Yidden. And this is going to be a way for even the Goyim to recognize that there's an Eibishter in the world and that the Getchkes are nothing and the Eibishter is the Emes. Do you understand what's going on? Okay? And Kinalach, now Naaman heard that Elisha wants to see him, and now he travels to see Elisha in Shomron. And finally, Naaman comes to the house of Elisha. And he expected that some holy man with a white beard is going to come out to him and give him a lot of covet because he's a big officer and a big general, and he's going to wave his hands, and he's going to take some kind of a stick maybe and make some kind of a, like, you know, waving it in the air, and it's going to say some magic words, and he thinks the boo-boos are going to disappear. Like the magicians do over there in Aram, they wave the magic wands, they look in crystal balls, and they say magic words, and they make hocus pocus and abacadabra kadoos. Shh. But this is not what happened. What happened was, the servant opened the door of Elisha's house, the servant opened the door to Elisha's house. Naaman was there. And Elisha did not even come out to Naaman. He just sent a message through his servant that Elisha says that Naaman should go to the river Yarden. There's a river in Eretz Israel called the Yarden. And Naaman should go into the river and he should go under the water 7 times. And at the end of the 7th time, his boo-boos will go away. And that's all he said. And the servant closed the door. And that was it. And Naaman got very upset. What? First of all, this Elisha doesn't even come out to see me himself? After I travel all the way from Aram and I'm a big important general? And then he doesn't take any magic sticks or say any magic words or make any kind of special things that he, my boo-boos go away right away, and he tells me to go to a river, the Yarden, and to go inside 7 times and go under the water 7 times, wash myself in a river? What is this? There are rivers in Aram where I come from, beautiful rivers, even nicer rivers than the Yarden. The Yarden has cold water, and where I live, there's beautiful rivers with warm water. I could have gone over there swimming, or washing myself in the river, or going down in the river. If I need a river, what do I have to come all the way here to Eretz Israel for a river? There's rivers where I come from. Oh, am I upset? And he starts complaining and fetching. And Kinalach, of course, an important man doesn't travel by himself. He had different servants and smaller officers than him that came along with him, and they said to him, Naaman, Why don't you try it? Just see what happens. It's worth a try. After all, you came this far. Maybe something will happen good. If you don't try, you won't know. Ah, come on. I'll go into a river swimming when I get home. And now they go back towards Aram, and on the way they pass the Yardain. Here's the Yardain. It's cold water. I don't want to go in. It's my boo-boo's going to bother me. Oh, please try, Naaman. Try. We're here already. Okay. And Naaman goes into the river Kinnelach, and he starts dunking himself, going under the water once and twice and three times. What is this? I'm uncomfortable. It's a cold river. Hey, he said seven times. It's going more. Four times and five times. Oh, leave this already. Let's go back home. It's cold in here. Come on, it was only five times. Six times, seven times. He comes out of the river, and all of a sudden everybody sees, look, Naaman, look. He says, look at me. All my boo-boos are gone, every single one. My skin, it's all clear, it's all clean. It's soft, it's nice, like a baby. I'm just like a baby now. Yeah, Naaman, you're just like a baby. Oh, boy, are you nice, yeah. Oh, boy. This is a miracle. My boo-boos are gone. Just exactly like Elisha said. Akinalach, Naaman wanted now to go back to do two things. He wanted to thank Elisha, and he wanted to pay Elisha money as a thank you for what he did, because Naaman was a rich man. And he travels all the way back to Elisha. And he goes to his house, and they announce that Naaman is here. And this time Elisha did come out. And Naaman says, oh, you're Elisha. I'm so glad to meet you. Thank you so much that you healed me. And Elisha, of course, said, I didn't heal you. This is from Hashem. Naaman says, look, whatever it is, I want to pay you. And he says to his servants, bring Elisha 10 big, gigantic pieces of silver. And he starts bringing 10 big, gigantic pieces of silver. And he says, in that wagon are 6,000 golden coins. And other servants start schlepping 6,000 golden coins in these big bags. And he says, over there are 10 beautiful, expensive, fancy suits of clothing. Bring them all to Elisha. And they start schlepping all these clothes off of the wagons with the silver and with the gold. Akinalach, Elisha said, please, I appreciate your good feelings, but put everything back. I will not accept a penny. Because this is not something that I do like a doctor. You go to the doctor and you pay money. He did not want Naaman to think that this is like a business or something. Of course, we're not saying a doctor is a business, because the doctors are supposed to help you also, because that's the right thing to do. But he doesn't want Naaman to think, you know, this is what he does, and he gets paid, and he was just some kind of like a special person who knew a special thing to do, and he gets money for it. Who did he want Naaman to thank? Elisha or Hashem? He wanted everybody to know, this is a miracle from Hashem. This is Hashem's koyach. And so Elisha would not accept anything. And Naaman says, please take it. Elisha says, no. Please take some gold and silver and the suits. No. No, thank you. Please take it back. Use it for yourself. But you can tell your king and your people what happened, so everybody should see that there's a God in the Jewish people. There's a Hashem in the Jewish people who does these things. I'm only a Yid who davens and learns Torah and does mitzvahs as best I can. And you came to me, so I wanted to ask Hashem to help you, and that's all I did. Hashem gave you the help and the bracha. Now, Kinalach, Elisha was very strong, of course, in his will. He would not change. And as Naaman was also very strong, wanting to pay or give this money to Elisha, in the end, Elisha said, I promise to Hashem I will not accept anything from you, and that's final, that's it. And then Naaman saw that's it. He's not going to try to give any more. And so Elisha said, And so Naaman started to go and say goodbye. But Kinalach, standing there, watching the whole thing, was Gehazi. Gehazi is a shamish, a helper, like a servant of Elisha. Gehazi was a Talmud Chachem. He could learn, but as we're going to see, his Yiras Shamayim and his Midas were not the way they should be. Gehazi, when he saw that silver and that gold and those beautiful suits, his eyes started popping out of his head. Oh boy, wouldn't it be nice to have that, all of that? Wouldn't it be nice to have silver and gold and beautiful clothes? And Elisha doesn't want to accept anything. Boy, would I like to have it. And he starts thinking, how can I somehow get that for myself? Kinalach, is that the right way to do? You see something, you try to get it for yourself? If it's not coming for you, if it's not something that is meant for you, to be for you, you have to start thinking about ways to get it for yourself? What is it called when you want something for yourself and it doesn't belong to you, it's not coming to you, it belongs to somebody else, but you want it for yourself? You know what that's called? That's called loisisave. You're not allowed to want something that belongs to somebody else that's not yours, even if you do nothing to get it. Just the wanting. Now, we're not talking about where a boy has a toy and you say, I know that he got the toy because he learned very nicely and he behaved and his tati bought him that for a prize. I would like one like that because I know in this store there's more. So if I learn and I be a good boy, maybe my tati will buy also a toy for me, the same kind of a toy. Is there anything wrong with that?
No.
Because you don't want that toy. We're talking about it belongs to somebody else and you want that thing for yourself. This is called leisisave. You're not allowed to want something that is not for you. Then there's another Aveda. Chas v'shalom, if a person does something to get it for himself, that's called leisachmaid. Leisachmaid is a little bit different than leisisave. Leisisave is wanting. Leisachmaid is you do things to trick to get it. You think of clever, smart ways and tricks in order to get it for yourself. That's leisachmaid. Leisasave is just the wanting is wrong. Elisha had sworn to Hashem. Sworn to Hashem. That's even stronger than a promise, right? That he would not accept any of the silver or gold or fancy suits in order that Naaman shouldn't think he has a koyach to do something. Only that Hashem is the koyach and it'll be a kiddush Hashem. Right? Now, as Naaman was leaving, he tells his servants, bring me my getchkes from the wagons. Your getchkes? Yes, bring me my getchkes that are in the wagons that we brought with us, that we should have traveling getchkes whenever we want to daven here. And he took his getchkes, Kinalach, and he starts one by one smashing them and throwing them away. First thing Naaman says, no more getchkes. I'm not going to believe anymore in these getchkes because I used to daven to them and ask them to help me to get rid of my boo-boos and nothing would help. And now I see Hashem is the one who helps a person and I'm only going to daven now to Hashem. And he cleared out the getchkes and he took out the getchkes from his pockets and threw them all away. And he says, in the place of those getchkes that were in the wagon, fill it with dirt from Eretz Yisrael. Pile it high with dirt. Because when we get back to Aram, we're going to build a Mizbeach and we're going to make karbonis for Hashem. And I want to fill the Mizbeach with the dirt from Eretz Yisrael. And they pile the dirt from Eretz Yisrael in the wagon in the place the getchkes were, and they're going to take it back to Aram. And he says another thing. From now on, I'm not going to keep the rules of Aram and the Getchkes, but I'm going to keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noyach, the seven mitzvahs that a non-Jew, a person who's not a Yid, has to believe in and believe they came from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai, and Kenelach, from that day on, Naiman believed and kept. Naiman kept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and later he became a Ger Toshav. You know what a Ger Toshav is? He lived in Eretz Israel as a Goy, but he kept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Now, a Goy is allowed to live in Eretz Israel if he keeps the Sheva, the seven mitzvahs of the B'nei Noach. It's called a Ger Toshav. Okay? You know what a Ger Tzedek is? A Ger means a person wasn't a Yid and he became Jewish. And he keeps Torah mitzvahs. That's called a Ger Tzedek. A Ger Toshav means he's a living, he lives in Eretz Israel, Toshav, he settled down in Eretz Israel, but he is a stranger still. A Ger, the Taich Ger is a stranger. He's not a Yid. That's what happened with Naaman. He kept the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but he lived in Eretz Israel. Okay. Naaman is leaving with his people, and all of a sudden, somebody turns around and they say, "Hey, look, somebody is riding after our wagon. Who's that? Didn't we see him by Elisha's house?" "Hey, yeah, that's the servant of Elisha. What's his name again?" Gehazi, right, Gehazi. Wonder what he's running after us for, what he's riding after us for. All of a sudden, they stop the wagon, and Naaman looks out, and there comes Gehazi. And Gehazi says, "Naaman, I have an important message from my master Elisha. Two new students, just came from the mountain of Ephraim, and they're very poor. They came to learn with Elisha. And Elisha has asked you if maybe you could give, not for Elisha, but you can give for his two students, one of those nice pieces of silver and two suits, one for each one of them." Akinolach, was this true or not? Did Gehazi want this for the two students who he said came from Har Ephraim, or he wants it for himself? He wants it for himself. And Naaman thought, this is very strange, because Elisha just swore to Hashem that he will not accept anything. And now all of a sudden he's changing his mind and he's asking for something? It sounds very strange. And Naaman looked at Gehazi, and he felt suspicious, like something fishy is going on. And he says, "Gehazi, is this really true what you're saying?" "Oh, of course. I wouldn't tell anything not true. Of course it's true." And Naaman was still suspicious, and he says to Gehazi, "I want you to swear to Hashem that what you're saying is true. And then I'm going to give you the silver and the suits. But if not, then I'm not going to give you." And Gehazi promised to Hashem, he swore to Hashem that what he's saying is true. Now, Kinalach, this is a terrible thing, to swear to Hashem and it's, chas v'shalom, not true. That's why we never say, "I promise." We only say what? Bli neder. Like you say, "I hope I'll come to help you tonight." Bli neder. Or, "I'll see you at 7:30, Bli neder, Bezes Hashem." You never promise. You never say in a way of a promise, because it's like promising to Hashem. Kinalach, after Gehazi promised, Naaman asked his servants to give two pieces of silver and two suits and send it back for Elisha. Now, Gehazi got back home. Of course, he did not give the silver and the suits to Elisha. He went to his house, and he brings it into his house. And when Gehazi goes in his house, all of a sudden, his three sons are sitting there in the house. "Oh, Daddy, what do you have over there, Ta? What are those two beautiful, shiny pieces of silver and those fancy suits?" Remember, Naaman was here and he had all those beautiful things that Elisha wouldn't take? Well, I got some of it. Oh, boy. You did? Yeah, I got it for us. For me, maybe I'll give you some. Kinalach, did the three sons say anything to their father? Well, of course, there's the mitzvah of kibud av, and you're not supposed to tell somebody you're doing something wrong. But what if somebody's doing an aveda? What if somebody's doing something against the Torah? Are you supposed to say something about it?
Yeah.
Well, the three sons didn't say anything. They said, oh, a smart way to get silver and suits. Mm.